to take the trip to San Francisco with only $20 in your pocket, because the car isn't going to break down and the kids won't get sick. And if they do, it's only because someone in the car didn't have the right mental attitude. You know, there's one in every crowd who's a negative thinker, and he malpractices against everybody. And the world would be just dandy if it wasn't for that guy in Altoona, Wisconsin, who keeps malpracticing against all of us. Well, let me tell you, my friend, he isn't in Altoona, Wisconsin. He's right here in Long Beach. I am the negative thinker. I always look on the dark side. I don't ignore what my vulnerability might be. I want to know what the worst possible thing that can happen to me is and then be prepared for it. Once I do prepare for it, then I'm completely unafraid of it because I know I'm capable of taking care of it, and then I can relax and enjoy myself to the hilt because I no longer have this cloud hanging over my head of what happens if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't work the best as I've been expecting it. I'm prepared for it. I can take care of it. Now I can be as positive as I want to be within the framework that I have arranged for myself. I have constructed the perfect framework, so now I can relax and enjoy myself to the hilt. And the perfect framework does not include wishing away reality. It includes facing reality, protecting oneself from those parts of reality that would be detrimental, and gravitating towards those parts of reality that would be the best for you. Next week, we'll take up two important subjects. First of all, I want to outline in full what I call a concept of starting at zero, and then show many of the ways in which this concept can be profitably used. And then secondly, we will get into dealing with unknowns. How to make decisions where you do not have enough facts to know all of the consequences of your acts. And this second area is going to include a very important facet of the decision-making process, religion. Until one is prepared to completely integrate his religious beliefs into his decision-making processes, either his religion or his decisions are going to be irrelevant, because both of them are a part of his life, and to say that one is completely separate from the day-to-day practice of making decisions means to say that it only exists in one phase of reality and has nothing to do with this phase. And since there are not going to be any punches pulled in the lecture, I would suggest that if you like bullfights or cockfights or anything bloody like that, then come next week and see Harry Brown get battered by his customers. Now, tonight we have identified the six major areas that make up a decision and saw that the key to decision-making is in recognizing the price in advance, including everything to which you are vulnerable. By recognizing this and dealing with it realistically, you should never be in the position of having to regret a choice or feel a pang of temptation when you see one of the foregone alternatives marching by you. And I think that you will find that by recognizing the price in advance, you will not just be in the position where you look at the alternatives and say, well, I realize that as much as I want that, I'm getting something better and so forth. You will find yourself becoming a more single-minded person so that other things do not look as tempting to you as they used to in the past. That once having made the decision, it isn't even a temptation to be rebuked, but a temptation simply that does no longer exist. You recognize it for what it is, and you are emotionally and psychologically prepared to deal with it as well as intellectually. And we've looked tonight at 13 ways a decision can be perverted. It's often said that a human being really operates on only 5% of his mental capacity, or sometimes it's said 10%. But, of course, the point is that if this is so, then I'm sure that these 13 perversions we looked at tonight must contribute heavily to that, because they induce the individual to waste his precious resources, which are limited, on irrelevancies, foregoing his own happiness in the process, taking away some of these precious resources so that they're not available to him anymore. Your reputation is not the object. Neither is revenge, prior investment, protecting others, or any of the other errors noted. When you face a decision, the only question ever to be asked is simply, in terms of where I am right now, how can I eliminate all of the irrelevancies and choose the way that will bring me the most possible well-being? Now, are there any questions concerning tonight's material? Yes.
I'd like to ask how you define the type of thinking that you use when you hypothetically sit back, put your feet up on the ottoman, and conjure up a picture of the worst thing having happened to you and your attitude as you handle the things that come one after the other. And the similar type of thinking that you exhibit when you say, I don't care if things go wrong about a sale, I'm able to handle things. And with that situation, I'll be able to